are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to The Inspirational Learning Show with Pamela Dollison, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, Inspirational Learning Show listeners. I hope you enjoyed your weekend, and I hope that you've been enjoying all of our topics here on the Inspirational Learning Show, because here we want to inspire and motivate all of our listeners so that they can become creative thinkers at an early age for our youth, as well as we want our listeners to be able to empower, motivate, and inspire others to be creative in their learning as well. And also, remember to always tune in to LA Talk Radio's The Inspirational Learning Show using your Android or iPhones, as well as you may also contact me at Pamela_Dollison@yahoo.com. And also, don't forget, Artiste, the generational artist, is also available at alphabetnook.com or the dollyangels.com. And Artiste, the generational artist, is available in softcover, hardcover, and ebook, as well as you may be also available to receive Artiste, the generational artist, and other versions as well. So stay tuned and check your internet sites Googling Artiste, the generational artist, for updates on other ideas or ways that you can receive Artiste, the generational artist. On last week, I shared the topic in regards to social interactions for our youth, for going back to school to be able to interact with other children, their teachers, and classmates to be able to function and have respect for not only just themselves, but others as well. And with this, it also helps to have them to the opportunity to learn and understand on an age-appropriate social skills, on social skills, to be able to share these social interactions, not just in the home, but also while they're attending school. And with this being the first week of school, we want to also make sure to keep them on target with all of their other activities so that they can become socially inspire youth to be able to understand and excel without and within their learning skills while they're also learning at an early age to incorporate these ideas on into their learning skills as they grow, not only in just height and size, but also within their mental states as well. And to help us to continue to have our youth to grow, we have with us, who is no stranger to us, our very own doctor, who comes in with his great expertise of ideas, as well as to share insight to help motivate with his awesome techniques for not just adults, but children as well. And he also shares his excellence of what he has studied as well as taught over the years. And again, our very own Dr. Dave Hinkes is with us to help share with us our topic today of diversity. And with diversity, the topic will be for today, diversity, embracing our universal balances. Welcome, Dr. Dave Hinkes, with us again.
Hi, Pam. How are you? Thanks for having me back on a completely different topic today of utmost importance to our listeners. I look forward to the discourse with you over the next half hour or so.
Great. And we are so excited to have you with us because, as I know, we have gone over topics because you were the professor over various topics of teaching. You, as we all know, that you have the background of being a CEO of your company, Hink Inc., which is the marketing management and consulting firm, as well as your other various backgrounds, Mr. Alphabet Man, I like to call you, with all the degrees and all the degrees and other things that you have as your background. The list would go on and on, and you know, we only have an hour, 50 minutes or so, and we would go on and on with the various backgrounds. But with this specific topic, I wanted you to share with our listeners what you taught to me as well as to others here when you were in South Florida, and how you shared diversity on a wide span, and you broke that span down into various scopes to help us to overcome various challenges, not just within our personal lives, but also in our business and professional lives. So I wanted you to share that also with our listeners so that they too can encourage their youth as well as themselves to have this information as well.
Well, thank you, Pam. First of all, I think as opening comments to this topic of diversity and embracing balance within it and so forth, I've been thinking about this as you mentioned we would be talking about this today, and one thing that immediately comes to mind is I if you think about it, I don't really know why the word diversity has reached such exposure in the limelight, if you would. I'll tell you why I say that. Because when I think about diversity, and you and I have talked about this, I think about diversity of ideas, not the color of somebody's skin.
Correct.
So it amazes me, really, when you really peel back the onion and think about it, why is it we even need college courses or seminars on the obvious? Diversity, when we really should be, regardless of a person's skin or origin or culture or race or background, be sharing in our continuous lifelong learning journey diversity of ideas. And learning from anybody, anywhere's got something to contribute. I think what's really driven the formality of courses and conversation along diversity of different ethnic cultures and stuff like that dates back to really human resources and affirmative action and equal employment opportunity and things of that nature. I think has really spawned the formal offerings, if you would, of that definition of diversity. But my experience in life is, I think I indicated this on one or both of our previous radio chats, that I don't care if a person is black, green, beige, yellow, blue, comp with any other color you want, as long as they're approachable to discuss creativity, innovation, generation of new ideas. That's what really makes this world spin, and that's what I always look forward to. I never block anybody out from discussion because you never know what they have to offer.
Right. And that's why, you know, I wanted you to share diversity, because when I took the course, this is when I was doing my bachelor's studies, and you would allow us to share our ideas as well as to not just share our ideas. You would allow us, you would open the forum for us to like have the classroom as teachers so that we could share ideas and as well as give insights and understandings within this topic. And then we would all add our other ideas to it as well. So that also,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so that also adds a lot of color, not just in, like you say, race, as far as, you know, color, black, white, whomever. It's color meaning ideas, creativities, understandings. So that's why I liked the course of diversity as well.
And I enjoy teaching a whole semester course on it, as you know, back almost a decade ago. Time flies when you're having fun, right? Back in South Florida on diversity, and you were one of the students in the class, I really enjoyed the dedication of Barry University's adult education program offering a full semester course on the topic. It really caused us to focus and really kind of get down to detail as to this idea generation thing we're talking about across all cultures, which I think, you know, we both got a lot of. And I want to add another point about that. Continuous lifelong learning, especially in the classroom, is it's a two-way street. It's bilateral. It's synchronous, meaning that the professor learns as much, if not more, than the students. I'm teaching a marketing management course in my full-time deal these days in Eastern Tennessee. My office is in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we had the first night of our class last night. And there's 12 MBA students in the class, and you hear we're talking today about diversity. I couldn't think of anything more diverse. I had black, I had Hispanic, I had male, female. I had pretty much everything in there of a diverse background, but missing the Asian element. Mm-hmm. And the live discourse that was going on an introductory meeting, since this was the first night of class, in my opinion, was so rich with discussion, you would not get that if you were just focused on one particular thought, or one particular race, or one particular ethnic, or religion, or whatever other facets you want to come across with. It was just so enriching to me, this first night of class, because I'm really looking forward to the ensuing weeks teaching this class, realizing how much I, as a professor, am going to grow as much as the students.
Now, as far as we're saying students, because, you know, this is the first week of class, and, you know, like you're saying, this is the first week of the studies with you, with the adults as well. How would you incorporate this as an overall embracing of diversity with children, as well as how you would incorporate as embracing it overall with adults?
Well, I think for our children listening in the audience, I think the target audience here with them could not be better. And that is, like, you know, you can't attack the subject any earlier than children. Children, if they adopt a certain openness and generation of new ideas, as early as possible in their development, they will certainly remain open to the same as they grow into adults. Part of the problem in America and the rest of the world today is there hasn't been enough focus on this topic today, diversity, until recent decades. And the adults today who weren't exposed to what we're talking about today when they were children, Pam, you will find out it's much more difficult to unsculpt somebody's perception or conception of this topic, to unsculpt it and remold it. That's always more difficult than grooming it in the earlier years, such as our children listening here today. So I'm not saying it can't be done, that you can't unsculpt and remold adults today on this topic of openness, but children, to get it early and grow with it, will certainly outlast and be much more better for it in their careers and their dealings with people, et cetera, et cetera.
And as far as with careers, because mainly that's what, as adults, we took the course for, so that we would be able to communicate within our personal and professional lives as an overall, with over, how would you address diversity barriers and for others to overcome these various barriers? Because as we know, there's a lot of various barriers that's out there.
Well, I mean, it's not just a color thing, it's also a gender thing. We've all studied the difference in male versus female incomes in the workplace. And I'm glad to report that women are now probably in the low to mid 80% of what men are earning for the same job. Well, 20, 30 years ago, it was 40% for the same work. So it has doubled in improvement over time, which tells you this thing of diversity, whether it be gender or race, religion, ethnic, et cetera, is not a quick fix. It's going to be evolutionary. It's going to be patience is a virtue. It's going to be maturity and commitment and openness to new ideas and all that kind of stuff. Pam, what I'm saying is it takes time, and today's topic can only foster further helping this effort, if you would, to really drop the barriers completely and just treat everybody out of the gates the same. I think we'll all be much better for it. But you asked me to give you an example, and I do have an example. I became a full-time academic, leaving high-stress, high-powered corporate America 6 years ago. And I chose East Tennessee to relocate, and I love my job here at Lincoln Memorial University, and that's a real plug here live on the radio for this institution that I belong to now for 6 years full-time. But my point of the story is, if I wasn't open to new ideas, I never would have been able to go forth with my first book, which is, you're familiar with, Selling by Objectives, which really has universal appeal. It's not just a sales marketing book. It really has universal appeal, not only business-wise, but personally and professionally. And the reason I say that is because I moved up the ladder in academia rather early and was chairman of three departments, marketing, management, and believe it or not, don't laugh on the phone here, guys, professional golf management. Yes, there's a major in college in golf, and they take it very seriously, at least at the institution I'm at. But long story short, we were recruiting for some adjunct professors, which I had done for years prior to entering this thing full time. And we ran across one fellow, I think I could give his name out, he wouldn't mind, because he's really good and he's well known. His name is Daryl Green. Daryl has a doctorate in strategic leadership from Regent University in Virginia. And Daryl's a career federal employee. He works for the Department of Energy. But he wanted to teach part-time, and he wanted an avenue to do it. And after myself and others on the senior leadership team of the business school interviewed him on the phone, we hired him, and we allowed him to start teaching some courses and stuff. And as I got to know him, I realized he's a prolific author. He's written a bunch of stuff in various media, audio cassettes, CDs, DVDs, workbooks, books, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, Daryl, you know, one piece of my life I've thought about but never did anything about was authoring a book. Can you help me? And Daryl is black, by the way. And as I said, he's a 20-plus year career guy with the Department of Energy in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, which is right on the outskirts of Knoxville. And he said, yes, let's meet for coffee, and I'll tell you what's involved and see if you still want to pursue it, et cetera, et cetera. This started with a cup of coffee at a Starbucks, and 2 years later, with patience, perseverance, blood, sweat, and tears, et cetera, because you know what it takes, Pam, as a fellow author, to produce a book. 2 years later, I've got a book. And now it's in its third edition. And it's a near bestseller, and it's selling off the shelves, et cetera, et cetera. But I never would have even dreamed of this thing coming to fruition had I not been open to every and all kinds of people with ideas, regardless of their backgrounds or the color of their skin.
Absolutely. It's all about giving a person a chance.
Yeah.
And if you don't give a person a chance, you'll never find out what's down within the person.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I created the Inspirational Learning Show so that I would be able to share ideas as well as let others know that, you know, this young girl, she's doing creative things. I can do them as well. So it's all about giving yourself a chance, trying yourself, giving others the opportunity, and believing within yourself. And that's what's key, because that's what's diverse. If you believe within yourself, if you have, like you used to always tell us, have a game plan. And that's what helps motivate others to have game plan also. So that's the enrichment part, is making sure to allow others to open themselves up to see what diverse ideas, challenges, et cetera, if they have felt or gone through. So that's what's important.
Well, let me take you to an example that's a little bit corny, if you would, but to me it's not corny. In my South Florida mini mansion that I left 6 years ago to come to the hills of eastern Tennessee, in each room of my house, including the bathrooms, I would have a notepad and pen available in each room of the house. And my family knew about this quirk, my wife and kids, about me, et cetera, et cetera. But when we'd have friends over and other relatives and acquaintances and guests and coworkers from work, et cetera, they used to tell me, what's with this notepad and pen in every room of the house? And I would explain to them, here it goes. If you should have an idea about anything, would you do me a favor and scribble it down, put your name to it, and your phone number, if I don't know what it is already, associated with your name. So every week I collect these little gibberishes around the house and sit down and digest it and reflect on it, et cetera, et cetera. And if I think anything really has merit or I have question about what you took the time in my household to write down, I'd like to call you back and discuss it further and see if there might be some opportunities we both never thought about with this simple writing down of ideas on the top of your head on a scratch sheet of paper in somebody's house. And, you know, at first, you know, people thought I was kind of crazy, but I've actually taken some of those ideas from people and further help them develop that idea, as well as maybe a partnership with them in me getting involved with them on some ideas that could lead to some lucrative as well as fun things. So I know that's taking it to extreme, but it's not, because it's soliciting ideas from everybody you're in touch with in written form that may or may not be used to mutual benefit.
And with those various ideas that you just shared about having the notepad in every area of the house, give also some insights like of strategies. You know, you always would share with us strategies for development. So on the diversity of consciousness, share some strategies with us for developing the consciousness of diversity.
Okay. Let me give you a couple tangible, if you would, durable, concrete strategies that will address your question. One is, and I started out with a kind of joke, and it's a clean joke, so nobody listening needs to worry. And it goes like this. You will come across people in your life that are trilingual. They know three languages. You'll come across other people that are bilingual. and then you'll come across Americans. You understand where I'm going with this. Americans are notorious for only knowing English. And they're not forced or willing to want to pick up a second foreign language, either in beginning, intermediate, or advanced stages of that language, whether you read it, write it, or speak it. I happen to be bilingual in Spanish after many years of staying with it, and it's not been easy. So I am bilingual, even though I'm American. I'm a Native American. I would recommend to our listeners to pick up a foreign language that they have always thought they would like and go visit that country and attempt to practice it and interface with the natives in that country and practice speaking it and picking up a foreign newspaper in that language and read it and also practice a little essay writing and writing, because you'll find out your skill levels along this language idea within diversity are going to be different between reading comprehension, writing it, and speaking it. It won't be the same. I've talked to native Hispanics over the years who were fluent speaking it, so-so about reading and comprehending it, and writing they knew nothing. They actually came up to me, one guy, a fellow direct report of mine in corporate America, his name was Jose. He said, "Dave, do you know where I can take some Spanish writing courses at the college to really get better at that?" And I said, "Jose, you're Hispanic. Don't you know how to write in your own language?" He says, "That is a false perception. Most of us do not know how to write in our own native language." So the skill levels within the language of the natives vary, and I would recommend people strive to pick up at least one other language other than their own as a strategy while they're still here on this earth. The second strategy I would throw out to our audience today is you must travel to foreign lands. Call it world geography. But before you hop on the plane to travel to foreign lands, take a world geography course in college. You don't need to take it for a grade. You can take it for interest or audit, etc., etc. Highly recommend that. I'll tell you why. You will be shocked if you do that to find out when you're looking at the map of the world and where all the continents and the countries are, if the names of those countries and continents were taken off the map, you were just looking at a blank map, would you be able to fill in the blanks and label those continents and countries and who's next to who, and maybe beyond just labeling where everything is geographically, how about the history, the culture, the politics, the economics, et cetera, of most of those prominent countries in these continents and stuff? You want to talk about diversity? That would be the most diversified way for you to start entering multicultural, cross-cultural dimensions, you know, in your learning and in your life, let alone picking up a foreign language proficiency. So I think those two things, from a diversity standpoint, world geography knowledge and foreign language competency, at least to be conversant in someone else's language, would further trigger your subconscious to keep diversity on the very forefront of your mind everywhere you go and everybody you meet. Last thing from a strategic standpoint, to answer your question, Pam, would be back to this game plan you mentioned you seem to like you took away from me in learning, goal setting. Goal setting is everything. Here's why. Goal setting is part of planning, and planning is the first of four phases of management. The other three phases are organizing, leading, and controlling. If you don't plan and goal set correctly, it's true that failure to plan is planning to fail. And failure to plan on your part does not create an exigency or an emergency on my part. It's not an excuse. But planning is so involved with laying out a roadmap, laying out a blueprint, laying out a path, a journey to what you're going to accomplish. And it's no different in planning that layout with diversity consciousness. Go to diversity conferences. They're out there in the community. Sign up and go. Go to a diversity conference. Go to a diversity festival on college campuses and learn about different cultures and people and stuff like that. You'll be amazed what's out there and how much more you'll be enriched for it. I hope this has helped address your question.
Absolutely. And I was going to also add, there's also, they have in various states, diversity concerts as well.
Attend some
diversity concerts.
I could not agree with you more. Go to a Celtic dance, performance, with our Celtic friends from Ireland and stuff. Go to one of those stomping dance type performances called the Celtic dance or something like that. Go to a Hebrew concert where the concert is all in Hebrew. And when I say Hebrew, I want to clarify myself, because many times people start drawing conclusions. Dr. Hinkes is mentioning Hebrew, so he must be Jewish. Well, whether I'm Jewish or not is irrelevant. Hebrew is spoken in the country of Israel, not just amongst Jewish population, but Palestinians, Muslims, and Christians. They all, because of the land that they live in Israel, part of the Middle East, they may or may not be fluent in Hebrew. Hebrew is Judaic, and it's also biblical, which encompasses all religions. Jesus Christ spoke Arabic and Hebrew. And people sometimes don't know that. So we don't know what we don't know. And you'll find out with this whole diversity thing, if you'll just open up your mind with a willingness to want to learn, you'll be amazed at how much you know that you don't know, because you opened up your mind in cracking the code, if you would, of the unknown. And I think that pretty well hits what I'm talking about.
Right, as well as also the diversity consciousness and communication. You know, like you were saying before, there were barriers, but also how would you, with the conscience and subconscious, handle diversity with communication?
Well, communication, Pam, is I tell people, I think I mentioned this on earlier chat, I may not have, but if I did, I don't mean to be repetitive, but there's two things which I call skills or mechanics or procedures that will lead you to success. And one of our earlier radio chats, the subject I think was how to be successful. And one of them is communication effectiveness, and the other is time management. Time management and communication. If you are time managed well and you communicate effectively, you could study whatever field or degree or discipline program you want to in college, and you can do it if you set your mind to it. I tell my students, I said, look, math and science have never really been my shtick, but if I really put my mind to it, I could be a medical doctor. I just don't want to go through all that training, et cetera. But you can be anything you want to be. But what you touched upon, Pam, is communication effectiveness in four ways. One, the written word. Two, the spoken word. 3, the non-spoken word, i.e. body language. Sometimes what we don't say says more than we actually say with our body and various eye movements and body movements and stuff like that. And number 4, presentation communications. PowerPoint, in the olden days we used to use CorelDRAW before PowerPoint, but PowerPoint seems to be the name of the game today. So those 4 ways of communicating, presentation, oral, nonverbal, and written, fall under this umbrella of practicing our communication effectiveness. So it becomes part of our conscious, as you state, in elevating openness to diversity in everything that we do and everyone that we come across with, to break ice and say hello and shake hands and win a new friend.
Absolutely. That's very important with diversity and communication, because that is how we groom one another within the diversity aspect of life.
Right. That's exactly right.
I did a couple of weeks ago, and I called it my PAMing, PAMING, and I called it prepare, arrange, and motivate. So that means, you know, to groom one another, to organize one another, and to also inspire one another within their aspects of communication and being diverse.
Well, I think also, I think a big thing with this diversity thing is just look at all the diverse ethnic people out there that have been renowned celebrities that have made it in life. And I'm sure you could espouse many of those here on this live radio chat as I can. But, I mean, look at Oprah Winfrey.
Yes.
Look at a Barack Obama, president of the U.S. Look at Shaquille O'Neal, J.K. Rowling, look at Gloria Estefan, which
yes.
is one that hits the immediate part of my mind, an immigrant from Cuba who migrated to Miami without a penny to her name. Mm-hmm. And now she's accumulated a massive net worth with her husband Emilio. They're in their 50s. He's 60. She's 56. Of $700 million in net worth. And they were penniless 30 years ago when they came from Cuba to Miami. And the success story around Gloria Estefan and the Miami Hispanic community, et cetera, is a phenomenal story. Gloria is putting on a concert at the Live at 50 Plus conference, which is sponsored by ARP, the American Association of Retired Professionals. Nothing you need to worry about yet, Pam. When you hit 50, you definitely want to join ARP. It's got a lot of good things to go to and stuff. And my wife, we're going to go to our first ARP Life at 50 Plus convention, held in Atlanta in the first week in October coming up. And the slate of guest speakers and entertainment would wow anybody in those various audiences. Gloria Estefan's going to be there. A lot of the NAACP celebrities with that cause are going to be there. Whoopi Goldberg is the keynote speaker first thing Friday morning. Why wouldn't anybody want to embrace the subject of our conversation today, diversity, when diversified entities have succeeded in life and we look up to them with their lifelong stories of how they went through trials and tribulations, and a lot of them from rags to riches, where they are today?
Yes. And you, as you said, I think I appreciate what you said before you started. You said for yourself, I was admired to hear that, because you know, I've known you well over a decade now, and there has been a lot of changes, and I'm glad that, you know, you've mentioned that, because we as adults, you know, if we're still striving, I'm still young, you know, you really don't focus on it. You're still trying to press forward for success, So yeah. I thank you for that, Dave.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a very enjoyable subject today. I hope we spawned a lot of goodness to our listeners and for them to take the word and spread it as well. And then hopefully one day it won't be such a focus because it'll just be rote behavior. We're all doing it anyway.
Right. And before we leave, is there anything that you would like to share? Maybe a lifelong, because I noticed you mentioned a lifelong process. So would you like to add anything else to this continuing lifelong process, you know, a verbiage or a comment or something to that aspect for our listeners?
Well, I can, for what it's worth. There's several ways to make it in this world, folks. One is you were born into wealth, in which case that could hurt you because it could spoil you. Or if you're not someone to let that spoil you, that could be an enabler to your success more quickly than others by being born into wealth with an inheritance and generations of wealth, etc. Another way is through education. Picking up college degrees and certifications and licenses and stuff like that. I have 2 doctorates and 5 professional certifications. My certifications are in sales and marketing. My doctorates are in management and marketing. I have 2. My wife, you're correct, Pam, calls me the alphabet soup. If you take my 2 doctorates and my 5 professional certifications and string them along linearly in one line, it's 23 letters. That's why she calls me the alphabet soup. And that doesn't even include my lower level educational credentials, such as my MBA and my BA. That would take me to 28 letters, some of them repetitive, going beyond the alphabet of 26 letters. But it's an indication that education is another avenue aside from being born into wealthy generations of family to make it in this world. A third way to do it is just plain get lucky. Win the sweepstakes or lotto and get lucky. The problem with that is a lot of those people, if you follow up with their lives in talk shows, years later they're broke. They didn't know how to manage their newfound lucky money, and they're broke and destitute living in trailer parks. Not all of them, but a good portion of them were just shell-shocked by their recent fortune through luck, be it sweepstakes or lotto or jackpot or mega ball winnings and all that. And the fourth way to make it in this world is through a special talent. Whether you sing, dance, play musical instruments, or fighting, a boxer, pugilistic endeavors, boxing. If you have a unique talent for boxing, or singing, or dancing, or playing musical instruments, or even acting on the big screen or the small screen, TV, etc., that is the fourth avenue to climb out of your rut and be successful. So, 1, a skill, 2, education, 3, you're born into it, 4, you're lucky. Those are the 4 ways I would lead you, my audience today, to hopefully work in combination of those things, not one in particular, but common. I always say luck happens to those that are already working hard through normal means. You'll be struck with luck. Luck meets skill when you least expect it. And that's the same for the love of your life, whoever your significant other is that shares your life today or in the past. You don't look for love, Pam. It comes your way when you least expect it. It's a sudden spark. It's the same with this luck and skill career-wise mixing together. Those would be my leave-behind words for today.
And that's wonderful. Dave, again, I want to say thank you for your inspiring and motivational words that you have left with us. We are always so glad to have you to share your insights with us because they are so inspirational, motivating, and empowering to us. And again, our guest is Dr. Dave Hinkes, CEO of Hink Inc. Also, he's an author of Skills by Objectives, or is it what? Selling by Objectives. It's a handbook for more profitability in the 21st century, and it's available in a third edition. So that's our author and CEO and alphabet. I call him multifaceted. The missus calls him the alphabet man, and you're just awesome, Dave, and we thank you for having you on again.
Well, Pam, thank you for having me on. I really enjoy it. I hope I've shared unselfishly to our audience some things that they could take away, and I look forward to the success of your ongoing radio program, and if you should like to have me on again, you know where to get a hold of me.
Yes, I don't want to overextend you now. I mean, you're like family here. You know, come on, sharing your wonderful skills, and, you know, I'm so honored that you're still sharing all of your gifts and talents now that you're in Tennessee. You know, you were fantastic when you were here with us and when we were in Florida. You had a lot of people who were inspired by you. And I sometimes, you know, if I'm back home, I see different classmates and they say, you know, wonder what happened to, you know, the guy. I say, I still communicate with him. Really? You know? Yeah, I said, now he's in Tennessee. Oh, man, he's spreading his talent over there now. So,
I thank you for that, Pam. Even though my wife and I, both native South Floridians, migrated to East Tennessee 6 years ago, both of our families are still in South Florida. With the exception of one of my sisters is in Central Florida in Kissimmee. So we always go back down there to play and talk with relatives and long lost friends that we've built over half a century. But again, I think you talk about diversity, and I know we're coming to an end here, but you want to talk about diversity of being open to new ideas and risk and relocation and stuff like that. That's what our audience needs to do, as I have in coming to East Tennessee from South Florida 6 years ago, and my wife and I leaving our entire families behind who are still there that we go down to visit every year.
And you still just, it brings back great memories, South Florida.
It does. And I miss the sun.
You miss the sun. Well, you know, there's things in life that you have to give up in order to continue on, you know.
You're absolutely correct.
So, again, thank you for being on the Inspirational Learning Show. And you have a wonderful rest of the week, Dave, as well as our listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Inspirational Learning Show. And don't forget, Artiste, the Generational Artist, is available on alphabetnook.com, also on dollyangels.com. Again, thank you for tuning in. And again, tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Inspirational Learning Show, where imagination shines brightly. Have a wonderful rest of the week.
You're listening to the Inspirational Learning Show with Pamela Dollison, right here on LA Talk Radio.